Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is 1 Corinthians 7, 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 to 11. Now, for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I do. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. To the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband, but if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. My theme for reflection is love, self-control, and the sacred gift of intimacy. Love, self-control, and the sacred gift of intimacy. There is an old saying that marriage is like a violin. Once the music stops, the strings are still attached. It is a humorous reminder that relationships, especially marriage, are not all serenades and sunsets. They require tuning, patience, and sometimes the humility to admit that one has been playing the wrong note. In 1 Corinthians 7, 1 to 11, Paul steps into a community that was struggling to tune its life together. Some in Corinth believed holiness meant abstaining from physical intimacy altogether, even within marriage. Others had gone the opposite way, treating desire as license. Into this confusion, Paul writes, not to shame or suppress, but to reorder love under the Lordship of Christ. He insists that desire itself is not sinful, it is a gift. But like any gift, it can be hijacked when not governed by love and mutual respect. Paul reminds husbands and wives that their bodies belong not to themselves alone, but to one another. In a world obsessed with individual rights, this is radical. He is not advocating control but mutual belonging, a covenant of giving, not taking. To love is to yield, to serve is to sanctify. Temporary abstinence, he adds, is permissible only when both agree for the purpose of prayer, and even then only for a time, lest temptation find a foothold. Here, Paul is not writing theology for the ivory tower. He is giving practical counsel for real people wrestling with desire, distraction, and devotion. His message remains timeless. God's gifts are good, but they must be stewarded. Sexuality, like speech or strength, becomes holy when governed by love and self-control. The issue is not passion itself, but what or whom it serves. Karl Barth once wrote that freedom is not the right to do what we will, but the power to do what we ought. That is the essence of Paul's wisdom here. True freedom in Christ is not the absence of boundaries, but the joyful acceptance of them. The discipline of love is not repression, it is redemption. For those who are married, this passage is a reminder that intimacy is not a negotiation, but a ministry. Marriage is the daily practice of giving without counting the cost, forgiving without keeping score, and finding in ordinary affection a glimpse of divine grace. For those who are single, Paul offers equal dignity. Celibacy too is a calling. A life lived in undivided devotion where passion is transfigured into service. Both marriage and singleness are gifts. Both require self-control, and both reveal the beauty of dependence on God. In our modern world, the misuse of love remains one of the greatest wounds to human dignity. The internet has made what is sacred transactional and what is personal public. Yet the call of this text is not to despair, but to rediscover holiness in the body, to see our physical lives as instruments of God's glory. Christ himself entered the fullness of our humanity so that our desires might be healed, not denied. 2,000 years later, Paul's invitation still stands: to live our relationships, married or single, not as battlegrounds of control, but as gardens of grace, where love grows through mutual trust, prayer, and the quiet work of self-mastery. Now, if you want a quote that will carry you along today, it is the one from Karl Barth: "Freedom is not the right to do what we will, but the power to do what we ought." There are two questions for reflection. Number one, in what areas of your relationships, marital or otherwise, might you need to practice holy self-control? Number two, how can you make prayer, rather than pride, the starting point for healing in your intimacy and relationships? And now our practical exercise for the day. Set aside 10 minutes today to pray with your spouse, or if single, to pray for wisdom in how to honor God with your body. Ask God to help you to see desire not as danger, but as a divine gift to be directed toward love and service. Holy and gracious God, you formed us in love and called us to live that love faithfully. Teach us self-control that honors you, tenderness that heals others, and integrity that guards the heart. Whether in marriage or in singleness, may our lives reflect your holiness and our relationships reveal your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.